Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. Our victim today is 61-year-old Marie Kunla, who left New York for a fun week-long girls' trip to Turks and Caicos in October of 2018. The women were filling their days snorkeling, karaokeing, and lounging at the pool until the evening Marie went to her room for a nap before dinner and was never seen alive again. Marie's body was found still on Club Med resort property, assaulted and strangled. Her friends have named a person of interest who is another guest at the resort, but police have so far failed to bring justice for Marie. What happened to Marie Kunla while she was enjoying her Club Med vacation in paradise? And when will there be justice? Follow along because there are a few things that just don't add up. I've never stayed at a Club Med and usually avoid most resorts when I travel. I prefer to travel on a more local level, staying at hostels or Airbnbs. But I totally get why people stay at all-inclusive resorts, especially when you add in food, drinks, excursions, and the safety aspect. Club Med was started back in 1950 when two Frenchmen, Gerard Blitz and Gilbert Trigano, had a vision to create a new type of vacation experience. The idea was founded on the concept of providing affordable, all-inclusive holidays in sunny destinations. The first Club Med village was established in Mallorca, Spain. It was a simple tent village with basic amenities, offering guest accommodation, meals, and activities, all for one fixed price. It was a totally new idea in the world of vacationing. Throughout the 1950s and 60s, Club Med expanded rapidly, opening these villages across a lot of tropical destinations. They focused on giving vacationers sports, entertainment, and a laid-back atmosphere for those looking to just relax. They also introduced the concept of GOs, or Gracias Organizers, who are staff members responsible for organizing activities and entertainment for guests. In the following decades, Club Med expanded globally, and by the 1980s, it was one of the largest and most well-known vacation resorts in the world. More recently, Club Med modernized into more upscale accommodations, including gourmet dining, wellness programs, sustainability, and eco-friendly practices. On their website, they describe Club Med Turquoise as an adults-exclusive, all-inclusive paradise, where both couples and friends can learn what it truly means to disconnect. At Turquoise, you can explore the ocean depths at one of the world's top wall diving destinations, sail away in the turquoise blue water, and enjoy live music, fresh smoothies, and cocktails right on the beach. Located in Grace Bay of Providenciales and ranked on one of the most beautiful beaches in the world, Resort Club Med Turquoise offers a delicious gourmet cuisine, infinity pool, and comfortable rooms with a view. And it comes with a price of $600 to about $1,000 a night, depending on what time of year you're vacationing. Turks and Caicos is actually 40 low-lying coral islands in the Atlantic Ocean, just southeast of the Bahamas and north of Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Only 8 of the islands are inhabited, and the main ones are Providenciales, usually called Provo, and Grand Turk. It's a British overseas territory, and English is the official language. Tourism is the primary industry, and the currency is the U.S. dollar. There's also no income tax, and it's well known for many of the tax advantages, which makes it an attractive destination for businesses and individuals seeking tax-efficient jurisdictions. Because the islands are small, with Provo being 38 square miles and Grand Turk being only about 7 square miles, they needed a way to bring in economy to support themselves. Beyond the financial services offered with tax incentives for businesses, the government recognized the potential of tourism to drive economic growth, so they invested in infrastructure and promotion of the islands as a tourist destination in the latter half of the 20th century. They improved air travel connections, including expanding the international airports, which made it easier for tourists from North America and Europe. They also developed all-inclusive resorts offering luxurious accommodations, dining, and activities. And it all worked because Turks and Caicos is an amazing vacation destination. It's known for stunning beaches, crystal clear water. There are also some really cool and interesting things to do beyond beach life. The island holds the world's only commercial conch farm, where you can visit and learn about the life cycle of the conch and their importance to the ecosystem. And then, of course, you can eat them after the tour. There are also real-life glowworms on Turks and Caicos, with several tours offering an experience to see the natural bioluminescent glowworms lighting up at night in their natural habitat. Iguana Island is a small island less than half mile long, just off the coast, and home to a booming population of the endangered Turks and Caicos rock iguana. It's accessible only by boat or kayak, and I would definitely give it a visit, even though iguanas do scare me a little. Another cool landmark to see is a giant sinkhole known simply as The Hole. It's about 50 feet across and 60 feet down to the water in the bottom, and, well, it's basically a giant hole in the earth. It's possible that it's connected to the ocean as it appears to be tidal, and locals say when it rains enough, you can jump into the hole because the water's deep enough, but I'm not so sure I'd give that one a try. The sinkholes are caused by slightly acidic rain slowly eating away at the limestone. One thing Turks and Caicos does not have is a vibrant nightlife scene, and most restaurants close around 10 p.m. with bars closing around 11 p.m. But overall, Turks and Caicos is well loved by beachgoers, luxury travelers, retirees, and snowbirds. So let's get to know Marie Kunla, who went there on her last trip. A girls' trip getaway at the luxurious and relaxing Club Med Turquoise.
Texas has a reputation for being tough on crime, but beneath the surface, in the darkness, are many mysteries left undone. In 2017, Gone Cold, Texas True Crime began with the story of Carla Walker. A community came together, demanded justice, and almost 47 years after her murder, Carla's case was solved.
We did what we set out to do as a community. We got them.
Since then, Gone Cold has told the stories of more than 250 cold cases.
There is no way for us to find any closure because they're still out there. They're still walking free and they moved on with their lives and they took four lives.
I'm Vincent, host of Gone Cold. There are countless cases throughout Texas waiting for new leads or forensic advancements.
They made him kneel down and they shot him in the back of the head and then burned his car so there would be no evidence.
On Gone Cold, you'll hear in-depth stories of these unsolved murders and missing persons cases. From the historic and mysterious 1948 disappearance of Denton Coed, Virginia Carpenter, to the brutal and unspeakable 2014 murder of pregnant Dallas woman Delisa Kelly. Gone Cold isn't simply a murder podcast, it's a pursuit for justice. Join us in our mission by subscribing to Gone Cold, Texas True Crime, wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are monsters among us.
Marie Kunla was a really wonderful woman. Everyone that knew her loved her, and there's a lot of people that miss her. She lived in Wantock, New York, and was married to her husband, Rick Kunla, for 38 years. They have a son, Rick Kunla Jr., who now lives in California. Marie went back to school later in life and graduated from Marquette Law School. And after she earned her law degree, she spent over 15 years as a public defender at the Legal Aid Society of Suffolk County. Marie was that special kind of person that spent her time helping others. She made sure quality legal representation and assistance was available for those who could not otherwise afford it. She treated every one of her clients with respect and worked tirelessly on their behalf. Her friends said she brightened the day of everyone who knew her and many who didn't. And it was while working in this law firm that she met some of her best friends, Helma Hermans and Kim Nohilly, who would later accompany her on that girls' trip to Turks and Caicos. Marie was the type of person that showed by example that it was possible to have both a meaningful professional career and also be a wonderful wife and mother. Her son Rick said she was a loving, caring, compassionate woman who he was lucky to have for a mom. If she saw someone in need, she would help them. Marie frequently visited her elderly mother, taking her out to eat and keeping her company. She also enjoyed reading, being at the beach, seeing new places, and dining out. She was a sweet woman who wouldn't hurt a fly, making it all the more shocking when she was brutally assaulted and murdered at Club Med on the paradise island of Turks and Caicos, because she really had no enemies at all. She may be gone, but the impact she had on the world and inspiration she provided most certainly is not. Who would want to hurt Marie? Let's go through what we know about this case right after these messages from our sponsors. Marie was looking forward to her well-earned vacation and girls' trip to Turks and Caicos with her friends Helma and Kim and Kim's 26-year-old daughter. They arrived on the island on October 10th, 2018, checking into the extravagant Club Med for the week-long getaway. The women spent their first few days snorkeling, doing water aerobics, and singing karaoke. Kim later told the news media that Marie kept saying this was the best vacation ever. But right away, there was a problem. Almost immediately upon their arrival, the group was concerned about another guest that they met, a man named Frank Yaculo Jr. He was vacationing from Long Island and was also a former Club Med employee. The woman felt like he was a nuisance, and he attached himself to the group, especially to Marie, likely because of her warm and caring nature. Marie and her friends were mostly staying on the resort property throughout their trip, so everywhere they went, Frank was there too. And he was constantly supplying Marie with large amounts of alcohol. Now, Marie wasn't much of a drinker because she suffered from a seizure disorder and other medical conditions that she took a lot of medication for. And it wasn't like her to mix medication with alcohol, especially in those amounts. But with the pressure of Frank ordering round after round, Marie started acting out of character. She was uncharacteristically drunk at times, and this was even noted by other guests at the resort. Her friends also said they'd never seen her this intoxicated before, and they'd known her for many years. Now, Frank was not only annoying the group, but he was also accused of assault by Helma. She said he sexually groped her private area while she was in the pool, and she reported it to Club Med employees. She also said she wasn't the only one to make a complaint about Frank, but that there had actually been multiple complaints, and the resort did nothing about it. The last day Marie was seen by her friends was October 14th, around 7 p.m. Leading up to that, she was drinking and hanging out in the pool with her friends, and Frank was there too, ordering drinks. Because of all the drinks throughout the week, Marie had been suffering a couple of falls, she was walking around intoxicated, and another guest that met her on his arrival to the resort around 2:30 on the 14th said she had slurred speech and he couldn't understand what she was trying to say. After spending the rest of the afternoon at the pool, Marie went back to her room around 6 p.m. The group was scheduled to meet up in the Zumba area to go to dinner, but Marie never joined them. Kim's daughter said she saw her around 7:15 near the restaurant, but she said she was headed back to her room for a nap. The next day, Marie's friends couldn't find her anywhere, and by that afternoon, they were extremely concerned because no one had seen her since the night before. They told Club Med staff and her friends started searching the property for her. They feared she could be unconscious on the property due to her seizure disorder and the fact that she'd been drinking heavily. Police arrived around 7 p.m. that night. They wouldn't come sooner because it hadn't been 24 hours that she'd been missing. By the time police showed up, her friends knew something was very, very wrong. They had searched the entire property and Marie was nowhere to be found. This was completely out of character for her. Helma, Kim, and Kim's daughter told the police they suspected Frank of knowing something about Marie's disappearance right away. They told police he had been following Marie around and that he groped Helma, and that he was also the last person to be seen with Marie the night before as she was leaving the pool area. Police looked around the property, they searched Marie's room, and they also examined Frank's room, but nothing was out of place, so they left. Early the next morning, October 16th, the group again set out to search for Marie. They weren't getting much help from police or Club Med employees, although several of the other guests had joined in the search. It was then that Kim's daughter and another guest at the hotel came across the gruesome discovery of Marie's body. They discovered her in some bushes not far from her room in an area near the resort's soccer pitch, an area that Club Med employees used. But guests did not. Police came immediately. They pronounced Marie dead within an hour and sealed the area off as a crime scene. Island police then arrested Frank on the sexual assault accusations from Helma. But he was later released on a $10,000 bail that was posted by an unidentified resident of Turks and Caicos. I assume he knew residents of the island because at one point he was a former employee of that same Club Med. As soon as he was released on bail, Frank left the island and flew home. The police were very tight-lipped about the investigation, and the information they did release wasn't exactly correct. For instance, they said that Marie was found off Club Med Resort property when she was clearly on the property. They also tried to pass her death off as an accident when it was clearly murder, which made Marie's family feel like police and Club Med were trying to sweep her murder under the rug. In fact, in 2019, the lead detective for Turks and Caicos went to Long Island, and in a recorded meeting, he is heard trying to convince her family that she wasn't murdered, saying, "I have reason to believe that it's not a homicide." But after the autopsy, the medical examiner ruled it as homicide from manual strangulation. Unfortunately, this didn't make much of a difference in the investigation, and they wouldn't even give Marie's family the full autopsy results or details of her death for nearly 3 years. When the family finally got Marie's body weeks later, they felt she was deliberately allowed to decompose at the island morgue as part of an elaborate cover-up. Years later, the medical examiner testified at an inquest into the case that he thought her body was intentionally mishandled, that they had purposely put her body under a heated exhaust fan to degrade possible DNA faster, and that those actions were intentional. But Marie's family wasn't going to give up trying to get answers, so they hired private investigator Eddie Dowd in 2020 to dive into the case. And Eddie was able to get a lot more answers, leading Marie's family to file a $10 million wrongful death suit against Club Med and Frank Yaculo Jr. Finally, in June 2022, Marie's family was able to get more information from the medical examiner and her autopsy results. And it was shocking. The medical examiner, Dr. Steckbauer, reported that she was found in the bushes with her face in a downward position, with debris in her mouth and upper esophagus. Her clothing was askew. She was partially disrobed, and the back of her blouse and beach wrap was torn. Her underwear was on inside out and pushed away from her private parts, and there was seminal fluid on it. But it was too decomposed to adequately test it. In addition to the seminal fluid found, lab reports showed blood on almost every article of her clothing. There was bruising on her inner thighs, bruising on her ribs, and bruising from her knees to her feet. She also had a diffused hemorrhage in her head and a fractured rib. Toxicology reports post-mortem revealed prescription drugs in her blood prescribed for seizure disorder, bipolar disorder, depression, and insomnia. And lastly, the autopsy provided evidence that Marie did not walk to the location where her body was found. She was found 100 yards away from her shoes on a rocky dirt path that no one would have gone down barefoot. Not only that, her feet were not dirty or injured at all, and the balls of her feet were completely clean. This indicates she was carried to the bushes and put there by someone. All these findings were from the autopsy that was conducted on October 19, 2018, and put into a report dated October 28, 2018. But again, not available to Marie's family until June of 2022. And that happened after they filed the wrongful death lawsuit. Dr. Steckbauer's report concluded as follows. Due to hemorrhaging of the strap muscles, dirt and debris in the mouth, bruises on the legs, abrasions of the legs and arms, a fractured rib, the manner in which she was found, her torn clothing, and crime scene photos, that Ms. Kunla had died by manual strangulation. It took her family 3.5 years to find out that not only was their loved one murdered by strangulation, but she was also beaten and sexually assaulted. The report they finally received also revealed details that there were bloody items analyzed from the room of another hotel guest, Frank Yaculo Jr. While Frank was initially detained because of the alleged sexual assault against Helma, there are no reports indicating DNA was taken from him, and authorities declined to press charges for the sexual assault allegations. At some point, there was DNA taken from Frank's room, but it did not match Marie. The DNA found on Marie's body was inconclusive due to the decomposition. Once he was back in the U.S., Frank declined to cooperate with FBI agents. Now, I must note that Frank has maintained his innocence, and he pleaded the fifth when he was deposed for the inquest. Before the inquest, when questioned by NBC4 in 2019, he said, quote, "I had nothing to do with that. I had no interaction with her besides going to the pool." So, where do things stand now? Well, there was an inquest because of the $10 million lawsuit from Marie's family claiming a cover-up, among other issues with the investigation. A coroner's inquest is a legal inquiry into the case and circumstances of a death. A 7-member jury was formed to listen to the evidence in the inquest because under UK law, a jury needs to be convened for a coroner's inquest under specific circumstances. The circumstances include if the death was unnatural, the death was sudden or unexpected, or the death was under other suspicious circumstances. It was during this inquest that the attorneys for Club Med and the island police actually challenged the medical examiner on his findings. They challenged his findings that Marie was murdered. They somehow wanted her death ruled an accident, that she was essentially responsible for her own death. And although I don't have all the information, from what I do know, it doesn't sound like it could have possibly been an accident. And I'm not the only one that saw it that way, because it took the jury 2 weeks to examine all the evidence that was presented to them, and they ruled she died of homicide. The $10 million wrongful death suit is still ongoing. The statement released by Club Med and Trevor Botting, who was the acting commissioner of police on the island, concerning the murder of Marie Kunla reads as follows. "Our thoughts and prayers are with the family and friends of Marie at this time. This is an active investigation into the death of Marie, and I would ask that anyone with any information to please contact the investigators from the Serious Crime Unit, or you can call in confidence at Crime Stoppers on 1-800-8477. Even though Marie's death was finally and officially ruled a homicide, there's still no justice at all for her or her family. And while nothing can bring Marie back, they deserve justice because Marie was murdered. And now the question becomes, who murdered Marie Kunla?" There are several theories about Marie's murder. Many people think staying on a resort like Club Med would be very safe, and it should be. But that's not always the case because, like I always say, crime happens everywhere. The problem is, how do we really know if resorts are safe? Tourism is a very big and lucrative industry, and a resort like Club Med carries a lot of power, especially on a small island like Turks and Caicos. Oftentimes, when there is crime at a resort, they do what they can to keep it out of the media because it's going to hurt business. Even in the aftermath of Marie's murder, reading through the reviews online at the time, people were canceling their reservations. Nobody wants to wonder if they're safe on vacation, and most people feel like if they spend more at a place like Club Med, they'll be guaranteed more safety. And that's just not the case. Precautions can be made, but safety can never be guaranteed. In Turks and Caicos, crime has been rising in the last few years. The population is about 60,000 people, but there are hundreds of thousands of tourists that visit the island each year. In 2020, there were 23 murders in the country. But in just September and October of the following year, there were the same number of murders. But tourists aren't the ones getting murdered. Homicides have skyrocketed, and the number of tourists have also skyrocketed. But the number of tourists getting murdered in Turks and Caicos is about one every couple years. And I found it impossible to find any crime stats at Club Med because it's either not reported or it's not happening. Ideally, staying at an exclusive resort is safer because they have their own security. But in a Facebook post from the Royal Turks and Caicos Island Police Force dated October 22, 2018, describing the incident, the comments brought into question the security at Club Med. Kim Nohilly, who was with Marie on that vacation, commented that there were no security cameras of any kind on the property, and she saw the security guards on Facebook instead of joining in on the search. She felt that none of them took the initial disappearance seriously at all. She also said the reason her daughter and another guest were the ones to find Marie's body is because none of the security guards were helping with the search. So we know security might have been lacking at Club Med Turquoise. Who could be responsible for Marie's death? Random acts of violence can happen anywhere. So it's entirely possible someone snuck onto Club Med property ran into Marie, assaulted, beat, and killed her. Based on crime rates and the more personal aspect of it being a sexual assault and a strangulation, I don't think it was a complete stranger. We can't rule it out, but I think this theory is lower on my list than others. Which means my other theory is that someone she knew killed her. It was obviously not anyone she was traveling with due to the nature of the assault. So let's take a look at the family's number one suspect, Frank Yaculo Jr. From the onset, Marie's friends had complaints about him. He was a nuisance. The group said he attached himself to them during the days they were there, and he kept the alcohol flowing for him and Marie. I imagine they met him when they arrived and chatted about being from the same area, and that was his way into the group, and then he kind of just like stuck with them. He was also a former employee of Club Med Turquoise. And where Marie's body was found was in an area where employees had access to, but other resort guests might not have known about that area. He was also one of the last ones to see Marie when she left the pool that day. Helma reported him to resort staff for allegedly sexually assaulting her and found out other guests also reported his behavior. And this is what Frank was arrested for before he made bail. When he got back to the U.S., again, he wouldn't cooperate with the FBI, but he does maintain his innocence. I find it fairly unusual that someone on vacation would murder someone they had just met. But this looks like a crime of passion, so given the right circumstances, I can see how that would happen. The last theory I have is that someone else on the resort murdered Marie, another employee or another guest. I don't know how extensively employees or guests were questioned, or if at all, but the possibility is there. The only thing we know for sure is that Marie Kunla was murdered at Club Med in Turks and Caicos, and no one has been brought to justice for it. How can you stay safe visiting the beautiful islands in Turks and Caicos? Well, there's a relatively low crime rate compared to many other Caribbean destinations. Like any tourist destination, there are incidents of petty crime and theft. Violent crime is less common, but it's recommended to stay in well-lit and populated areas, especially after dark, and avoid walking alone in unfamiliar or secluded areas. Most crimes tend to be a result of opportunistic burglary and theft, which makes Marie's murder all the more shocking and personal. Overall, Turks and Caicos is a very safe destination, but there are a few things you should know before going. Marijuana in any form is illegal, including anything containing CBD or THC. There's no exception for medical marijuana products, and if you're caught, there's a fine of up to $75,000 and a 5-year sentence. Feral dogs are an issue on the island, although fairly uncommon. Feral and domestic dog attacks on people do happen. When I was in Guatemala, they also had a problem with feral dogs, so most people kept rocks in their pockets, and that seemed to work if they started chasing you. Luckily, there are no cases of rabies in Turks and Caicos, but the risk always exists because bats are present on the islands. One of the greatest causes of visitor deaths is drowning. Many drownings have occurred at the Bright Coral Reef Gardens, likely due to exhaustion or cardiovascular conditions. Always snorkel with a buddy and consider using a snorkeling vest or flotation aid. Avoid full-face snorkel masks because they've been linked to several deaths. If you get caught in a current, don't panic. Instead, swim perpendicular or somewhat with the current, and you should land on the coast a distance down the beach from your starting point. Pornography is illegal there. Even watching it online is illegal. And public nudity is also illegal throughout the islands, so there's no topless beaches. Keep your clothes on. There are taxis on the island if you need to go anywhere, and it's advised to take one at night, although most resorts provide bicycles to get around town. Also, taxis are per person, not per ride. So if you have more people, the ride will cost more. If you rent a car, driving is on the left side of the road, but sometimes they have right-sided vehicles. So it might be a pretty bizarre experience if you're not prepared. It's customary to tip waiters, taxi drivers, maids, and porters at about 15%. If you are a victim of a crime in Turks and Caicos, call 911. Although response times are typically longer than what is common in North America or Europe. And it's not much of a backpackers type of island because it is pretty expensive. It's a tiny island where pretty much everything is imported and they rely heavily on tourism. So be prepared to spend a little money. One way to save money is to rent an Airbnb and cook all your own meals. But hey, it's vacation. Might as well spend what you got. As always, inform someone about your plans before going anywhere. Tell someone reliable where you're going and what you'll be doing and when to expect you back. And my number one tip to staying alive on vacation is to pay attention to your gut. If something doesn't feel right, it isn't. Marie Kunla was beaten, assaulted, and murdered at Club Med Turquoise on October 14th, 2018. No one has been charged with her murder, and someone should be. Her family deserves closure. If anyone listening has any information about Marie's death, please contact the Serious Crime Unit or call Crime Stoppers Turks and Caicos at 800-8477 or 649-232-9151. Now is the time to speak up. If you know something, say something. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.